Good morning. It is indeed a pleasure to be here on this morning. First and foremost, I always say this because it's the truth. I'm excited about God, and I'm excited about His reign over my life. And in a moment here, you'll kind of understand as we get into the message. You'll understand what I'm saying now. I'm excited because if there was no God, and if He was not operating in my life the way He operates right now, I would be lost. Does anybody else have that same testimony? I would be an utter mess, right? I mean, I'm a mess now, but I would really be a mess if I didn't have God steering this ship. And so I stay excited about God because He is my guardrail. And He is the one that keeps me on track, and He's the one that keeps me motivated and keeps me inspired, and He's the one that lets me know that I am because He created me to be that way. And so I stay excited about Him. And so I'm excited to be here on this morning. I'm excited to worship alongside you guys. If you're new here, welcome. Jim already gave that welcome. If you're new and don't know, I'm Jay Jefferson. I'm one of the pastors along with Jim and Mark here at North County Community Church, and we're excited to have you here on today. And I'm going to jump into it. I'm going to administer the last installment of this sermon series, and so we're going to dive right into it. The funniest thing is I sang a snippet of a hymn. For those of y'all that don't know me, I love hymns. I sang a snippet of a hymn months ago, and I thought it was fitting for today. But then I started listening to the songs they were singing before I got up here, and I was like, man, I could have used that. Man, I could have used that. And I was, just to show you how God puts everything together, those songs that they sang this morning are in lockstep with the message for today. And I'm super excited about that because I changed the scope of the message. I was talking to Jim the other day, and I asked him some questions. I was like, I'm thinking about going this direction. What are your thoughts? And he said, well, yeah, that could work, and so forth and so on. And he gave me his 2 cents. And since then, I switched it. So Jim's like, I know what he's going to talk about today. And I was like, now I don't. But I thank God because it's in keeping with what the songs that we've heard this morning and the theme behind those on today. So that hymn just goes like this. It says, come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed up on it, the mount of thy redeeming love. The second verse, oh, thy grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bond my wandering eyes, my wandering heart to thee. That's why you got to read it. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it to thy courts above. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it to thy courts above. Anybody remember that one? In studying for this message today, I saw the passage one way. But then as you begin to pray and read and, you know, pray and read some more and sometimes cry, depending on where you are in the process, you'll recognize that God will bring it into focus and make everything clear. And as I was reading this passage in Joshua, 24th chapter of Joshua, it became very clear and evident that the theme of this entire passage was God's grace. I thought at first it was that Joshua was just simply giving a recap, and he was instituting the covenant and kind of making sure that everybody was on the same page. And then at the end, when he begins to ask everybody to make a choice to serve God and so forth, and I went at it a certain way. But then the more I looked at that, it was like, God was showing us the extent of his grace even over our lives today. So when we get to the end, it'll become, the sermon title itself will become clearer when we get to the end, that the choice is clear. In Joshua 24, we're going to read verses 2 through 13, and then I will expound on that, and we'll go from there. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to that, or flip, or scroll, or whatever your method of Bible is today. But Joshua chapter 24, beginning at verse 2, says, Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah and the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshiped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country to Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians, but what I did there, I brought you out. When I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them and the chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, and the king of Moab prepared to fight against Israel, he sent Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites and the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgazites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also, the two Amorite kings, you did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant." In the first part of your outline, it says, "We've come this far because of God's grace." Joshua assembles all of Israel in the presence of God to hear God's words. God speaks through Joshua and lays out Israel's entire history, which is steeped in God's grace. Joshua's review can be divided into four main sections. The first section, verses 2 2 through 4, how the patriarchs worshiped other gods and how he, God, that is, called Abraham to leave the idol worship of his fathers to follow the one true God, which Joshua will refer back to in verses 14 and 15. He reminds them of the promise which we came to know as Isaac, and all the descendants that would follow. He then brings the story of Egypt and 400 years of bondage. Now imagine how you would feel if you knew that God promised you something specific. Would you complain after 400 years? Would you complain or patiently wait for the promise to come to fruition? The fact is, there are times when it seems it will never come to pass. But this is how God motivates us and develops a faithful dependence on Him. In verses 5 and 7, recalls God's use of Moses to rescue the Israelites from the hand of Pharaoh and to lead the Exodus from Egypt, the Red Sea crossing, and the 40-year wilderness experience. All of this is done to the soundtrack of Psalm 23. Now, let me just back up real quick. So when I was writing this, you know, just so that you kind of know how I do this, when I'm writing, right, all kinds of stuff come to my mind. So this might be funny to some, and others of you all say, how dare he say that? When I was writing this, the very first thing that came to my mind was Psalm 23. And then I had a flashback to a movie that I used to watch called I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. Somebody said, how did you get that? But in the movie, and there's a small snippet inside the movie where the hero is walking down the street and there's a band walking behind him. And they're playing this music and they're just playing or whatever. And the guy's like, what is this? He said, that's my theme music. So imagine while God is taking Israel into Egypt, into captivity. Now remember, God knows all things. He's taking them into captivity and he takes them through those years of bondage. He then delivers them from Egypt. There's a mass exodus. There's the crossing of the Red Sea. There's the destroying of Pharaoh and his army. And then there's a walk in the wilderness. And the only thing that I can hear is, the Lord is my shepherd and I have no want. And I thought about how they walked around in the wilderness and their clothes didn't give out and they had food enough to eat and all this to drink. And I'm like, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, right? He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. I kept thinking about that. And then as they get over into, right outside of, east side of Jordan, and they get ready to fight the Amorite kings, I keep thinking about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. Do y'all get what I'm going with this? And so you look at all of what God did for Israel in this history, and Joshua, and God through Joshua is bringing all of this out, and he's helping you all to understand, I did that. You didn't do that. If you could have done it, you would have gotten out of bondage years ago, hundreds of years ago. But I sent a deliverer. I raised him up in the palace. I delivered him from genocide. I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you even at the Red Sea. I'm the one that parted the Red Sea. I'm the one that caused you all to go through on dry land, and I'm the one that destroyed Pharaoh's army. I'm the one that brought you through the wilderness unscathed. I'm the one that brought you to Jericho. And he's saying, it's all because of my plan. I designed it, and all of the glory goes to me. And so in this passage, we are recognizing God's grace over Israel. Here are a people who from time to time would rebel. Here are people who would lose sight of God and who would return back to some of their former practices and fall back into old sinful way. Now, I know none of you all fall into your old patterns. I already know I'm talking to good, wholesome folks who don't have an issue, who don't have to worry about their past, who don't have to worry about sliding, who don't have to worry about falling short. I know I'm who I'm talking to. But let me talk about me for a second. Sometimes, as much as we pray, as much as we read, as much as we study, as much as we come to church and worship, and as much as we want to live our life for God, sometimes we are blind to the potholes that are in front of us, and we fall short. And we have to recognize that we are here today because of God's grace. It is not because I'm such a great prayer. It is not because I'm a great speaker. It is not because I'm just a great outstanding person, which I know I am because I got a plaque for it the other day. But it's not because of that. It's not just because of that, right? I did get a plaque for that, by the way. Which actually is a side note. That's actually, this plaque is really for our church. So Hazelwood School District recognized, I'm going to say us, as volunteers of the year for Russell School and all that we do at Russell School and all the things that we're going to do at Russell School this year. And so I received the award on our behalf, right? It's got my name on it, but it's us, right? And so when I said that, I meant to say that earlier to let you know that they did recognize us. And I know they see me and Jim a lot throughout the week or whatever else, but you guys are a part of that as well. So kudos to you guys and a hand clap to you guys. But it's not because of that. It's because of God's grace, His plan, and how He works out His plan in our life. Have you ever been somewhere or done something and you knew I didn't deserve that? I knew I had some witnesses. All right. So all of this, if you could put this on the soundtrack of Psalm 23, all of this is playing out, and God is reminding them that it's not because of you, but it's because of my grace over your life. In verses 8 through 10, we now move from the promise through the Exodus and now to the blessing of victories as God prepares to give them the land He promised to Abraham. But first, God sets the stage for future victories by giving Israel the victory over the Amorites just east of the Jordan. Not only was God watching out for them militarily, but He was working behind the scenes to protect them from the would-be curses that were coming from Balaam on behalf of Balak and the Moabites. The last of the four sections can be found in verses 11, 12, and 13. The hearer, meaning Israel, is now up to date on all of God's exploits concerning the Israelites, their travels and victories. However, God wants them and us to understand that they only made it this far because of His grace. Israel did not do any of this on their own. And God, in all of His wisdom and power, brought them to this point. And the only one that deserves the glory for all of that happened, the only one that deserves the glory for all that has happened is God. Which brings us to our present time, our present situation, our decision, the next part on your outline, our decision to follow God rests on His grace. In verses 14 through 18, it says, now fear the Lord. Keep that mental note on, keep your finger on the word now. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Verse 15, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God Himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt. for that land of slavery and perform those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. Verse 18, and the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Now, there are two factors that define the covenant relationship between God and Israel and also us. And they are the words privilege and responsibility. Or another way to say it would be blessings and obligations. Because God extends privileges to us as his people, we then, in response, take on the responsibility of representing him in a manner that he desires and that will please him. You can interchange the words privilege with blessings and the word responsibility with the word obligation. But it does help us to understand, just like in school where there's a cause and effect, for what God has blessed us with, there is a response that is needed from us. See, I get the fact that sometimes we are still trying to figure some things out or whatnot, but when we come to understand whatever's in front of us, what it really is, it then demands a response from us. After we see, and I don't want to get to the end of my message at this point, although you probably want me to go ahead and get there now, but but when we see God's grace over our life, it then begs for us to make a decision. Well, because of his grace, will I now serve him wholeheartedly, or will I reject him despite of what he's done for me? And in this moment, Joshua is challenging them to understand God's grace that he just laid out for them and to now prepare themselves to have a response, a fitting response for what God has done. We must remember that this covenant is steeped in grace, in the grace of God, and is not made between two equal parties, but rather in the format of the ancient world treaty. We talked about that once before. In this form of the treaty, the responsibility of the subordinate, that's you and me, is very clearly defined, but that also makes clear where, what, when, and how the blessings came from. So in other words, not only do we see God and his grace and his love and his care for us, but we also see what our response should be very clearly. See, at the end of the day, I remember when we used to take those tests in school, and you had to fill in the bubble, and it was either this or that or whatever, or all of the above, and most of us that didn't know the answer, we just marked C all the way down because we knew that it was a 33% chance that it would be C. Don't act like y'all didn't do that. But in this, the statement is, God has covered you all this way, and without his covering, you would be nowhere. What is your response to this? Yes, I will serve the Lord. No, I want nothing to do with him. And I'm sorry, there is no other option. So there is no, well, let me think more about that. There is no, well, I'm not quite sure because I'm still trying to figure out after Adam and Eve, like, who did the sons marry? And, you know, what? Yeah, don't act like no one ever asked y'all about that question. Right? And there are things inside of scripture that we will never understand, and people get hung up on that. They hang their coat on that and they say, until I understand that, I cannot make a decision for God. But you will forsake all of his grace, all of his mercy, all of his love, all of his compassion, and more importantly, all of his forgiveness. Because you want to hang your coat on, I don't know what happened when Noah's son came in and saw him naked. What? There's only a few different choices, a couple of different choices here. Either we will serve the Lord or we're going to stay in the form of where we are. We're going to continue to serve the gods of our fathers. The word now in verse 14 puts a spotlight on the privileges or the blessings found in verses 2 through 13. But it also lays a foundation that requires or rather demands the equivalent obligation to follow. The obligation or responsibility that you read in verses 14 through 18 are in direct connection to the blessings found in 13. So remember, there are blessings, but then there's responsibilities. There are privileges, but then there are obligations. These responsibilities are spelled out in verse 14 in three imperatives. One, fear the Lord. It is a reverent awe, which is the proper attitude of those who have been redeemed by God and are willing to dedicate themselves to Him as Lord. The second part of that is to serve the Lord. And this is done in sincerity and in faithfulness. And the last imperative is that we throw away other gods. Right? God calls us to make a solemn and binding choice to have no other gods but Himself. Now, you ask me, okay, so what constitutes a God? When you would rather take the advice of Facebook over Scripture, you just made that your God. When you think money is so important that it makes you forsake the things of God, you just made that your God. When you put, hear me out, and don't throw your Bibles at me. When you make your family more important than God. Now, let me explain something real quick, because a couple weeks ago, I left second service. I did not attend second service, which we're here in both services, so y'all can't expect us to do every service, but I left second service because my youngest daughter plays travel lacrosse and she had a game, and I had not been to any of her games this year, which is unlike me, but they're all on Sunday. So I came here to first service and then I left here and went to her game. But my life is in service to God. If you decide, you know what, I'm not going to church, I'm going to all my kids' games, I'm not going to go to church, and y'all catch me after the season, that becomes an issue. Because now you have put your family, which God made you a steward over, now you have placed your family before God. And there's a right and a proper way to do all of these things. But what he's asking us is he's asking us to throw away those things that hold our attention, those things that we glean what we think is wisdom and understanding from, as opposed to coming to him. Throw away other gods. The last part of that is Joshua made a public declaration that he and his house will serve the Lord. And he leads by example. Now, the people's response matched Joshua's. However, Joshua understood that the people did not have the capacity outside of God's ability to commit themselves to him. He reminds them of who did the heavy lifting when this 40-year journey, during this 40-year journey, and also when it came to conquering the promised land. So Joshua is reminding them that you don't make this decision because you can make decisions. You make this decision because this decision, this choice, is clear. There are times, my father did something for me a long time ago, and I greatly appreciate it now. I was 12, and when I turned 12, my father took me bowling. And I'll never forget this. Now, if you've never met my father is a suit and tie person. And let me explain that. That's Monday through Monday, suit and tie. He's from the old school. They went to the baseball game in suits and ties, right? My father would come to the, when we had church picnics, my father would come to the church picnic, and I had to ask him, take your tie off, at least, all right? So my father made me dress up in some dress slacks, a nice button-down shirt, and a sweater vest, and a tam. I was cool. It was all brown, too. I was smooth. And at that time, my mother shopped at Neiman Marcus, so I was clean, right? As we used to say, I was cleat. And I put that on, and my father, and I had this small little London Fog coat, and put that on. My father, we were going to go bowling, and then we were going to go eat afterwards. And to my surprise, we went to the airport. My father put me on my first plane ride, and we went to Chicago. And we bowled in Chicago, and then we went to this fabulous restaurant with tablecloths and cloth napkins and all that good stuff, and we had steak. And I was like, yeah, this is how you're supposed to live. And my father sat me down in that moment, and he said, as we go forward, I'm going to allow you to make some decisions. And from that point on, he said, I will never tell you what to do. I will only make suggestions. But you have to make the decision for yourself, because you have to learn. So ever since from 12 years old all the way up, I've always had that. And it's like, this is my suggestion. Now you do what you want to do, but this is my suggestion. Now you know how that goes. 80% of the time I took his suggestion, right? But there were those times I did bump my head and whatever. And there were those times I was right, too. Let's not forget that. That's a chalk one up for me, too. And in this moment, it was so funny, because after I look at everything my parents have done and how they brought me up and how they provided for me and what they instilled in me, whenever it was time to make a decision, I always looked back at the landscape and the backdrop of my life. And I thought about the decision I was about to make and what that looks like compared to that. And it became clear to me what my decisions should be. Even in this moment, in this time, when I make decisions, I think about those things. And there's some stuff I would love to do. Even in the church, there's some things I would love to do. There's some equipment I would love to bring in. There's some things I would love to do and all that stuff. And God was like, no. But because of what God has done and how I got to this point, the choices that are given to me become clear. And he can say it's this or that, but it's not really this or that. It's really just this, because the choice becomes ever so clear. And God does that for us today. When Joshua says, choose ye this day whom you will serve, after just telling them all of what God did for you, it's kind of like, do I want to stay under the shadow of the Almighty, or do I want to leave from underneath that? So if you read Psalm 91, it tells you, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then it goes down from there, two all the way down, I think through 14. And it begins to tell you all the advantages that you gain from staying under the shadow of the Almighty. So you're trying to tell me that you would choose differently? You would choose to get from underneath the shadow and take on all of those things? You would rather have the arrows that fly in the noonday? You would rather try to dodge the arrows that fly in the noonday? You would rather try to deal with the lion and the adder? You would rather deal with calamity on your own? And most of us in here would say, no, I don't want to deal with any of that. I would love to have God's protection over my life. Again, against the backdrop of Psalm 23, right? He's my shepherd, I have no want. The choice becomes clear when God's grace is explained to us. In verse 19, Joshua responds differently than what was expected. After they said, we're going to serve the Lord also, Joshua responds differently. Joshua knew that they didn't have the capacity to commit themselves to God alone. He became a realist while watching the people in the wilderness and during their conquest of the promised land. We must never think that we possess the wherewithal to dedicate and commit ourselves to God aside from his grace. Joshua spells out how God is a holy and jealous God, along with the reminder of what was said about being obedient or disobedient to the voice of God found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. So Joshua alludes to a message that our own Jim Villalobos preached some months ago, chapter 27 and 28, about the blessings and the curses. In essence, the entire speech that God inspires through Joshua from verse 2 up to this point spells out the wonderful grace of God, which obviously compelled Israel to declare their allegiance. It was after the people had the opportunity to count up the cost of following God that they made the public declaration that they will serve God only. See, when we get a true glimpse of the attributes of God, such as his love, his mercy, his compassion, his forgiveness, and the main focus of this passage, his grace, we will want him. It's after seeing the extent of God's grace, it becomes easier to choose him. The choice becomes clear. In our last and final scripture for today, we're going to go all the way to the back of the book. We're going to go to Jude. We're going to go to the very last two verses in Jude, verses 24 and 25. And this kind of will help us to round out our future will be determined by God's grace. Our future, our present is demanding of God's grace. Our future will be determined by God's grace as well. And in here, Jude writes, now they've got to remember, this is in this particular book, Jude is writing, talking under the theme of contending for the faith, right? Contending for the faith, the things that we need to do in order to bolster our faith and to uphold our faith and to operate in the faith. But at the end, he gives a salutation, and the salutation simply says this: to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. So not only can we look backwards and see how God's grace mapped out our journey, but we can have confidence even in the now. That as I move forward, that I'm being motivated and inspired and covered and surrounded by God's grace. I don't want to make light of the situation, because this movie was based off of a true story, but you all remember about the boy in the glass bubble, right? Or the boy in the bubble, or I forgot to go. But it was John Travolta in a bubble. How about that? Picture yourself in that state. God is maneuvering you through life, and he's got this bubble around you, and he's protecting you from everything that Satan wants to do to you and even through you. And not only that, but he's protecting you from the prayers that from the curses that other people are trying to pray. Because I'm just going to say it like this. Y'all can come up to me and disagree with me later next week. Because I got something to do after church. But next week, come and disagree with me. We'll talk about it, okay? But there are people who have prayed to God against you. Jim, I just lost the room. There are people who have no clue who God really is, but because they don't like you, they told God, I don't want them to prosper. I don't want them to get that promotion. I don't want them. And they were like, God, don't let that happen. Or they'll pray their little prayers or whatever it is. And they think they're praying it to God. And God is protecting. Remember, he told them that Balaam was sent out by Balak to pronounce a curse. And he came to him to pronounce a curse over Israel. And God would not let that happen. But there are people that don't want you to prosper, and God has put a bubble around you called grace, and he is moving this bubble from one spot to another on this map to get you to where he wants you to be. all because he has a plan for your life. And so then what kind of God would we serve if he brought us from all of our dirt and trash and all of our sin and whatever else to this point? What kind of God would we serve if he brought us to this point and just said, never mind. But he, through his grace, gives us the confidence to move now, even when we make mistake after mistake, even when we fall short. He gives us the grace to continue moving forward. But in this passage here, in this salutation, we understand that it is not our good deeds. It is not our good works. It is not the things that we think that we are amassing to ourselves. It's going to be God's grace and God's grace alone. When we stand before his throne, we will still be dirty. When we stand before his throne, we will still have sin within us. When we stand before his throne, we will still be that same person that he had to come rescue out of our mess. And it's at that point in time, because we have declared with our mouth what we believed in our heart, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that his death on the cross was for me. Once we acknowledge that and believe that, at that point in time, we have then secured our spot with God for eternity. It is then God's grace that when we get to heaven, that he then looks at us and says, you're covered. You're good. See, it's one thing when and I used to use this thing that somebody used to talk about. They used to wonder, how does a brown cow eat green grass and give us white milk? Right? You probably heard something similar to this before. But then it's like God took my black soul, dipped it in his red blood, and I came out white as snow. And so when we get to heaven, the only thing God will see is the blood of Jesus and our belief that he is that he is the penalty and the price for us. And that when we get there, all of this mess and all of this whatever that's within us will be covered by the blood of God. And God will usher us into heaven because of his grace. When we see God for who he is, and that's what God did through Joshua. He pointed out to the children of Israel that all of this was because of God. And because of that, you guys now are able to dwell in a land that you did nothing to get other than to just be present. And because of that, we now have hope for our eternal future. See, I don't come to church because I'm still trying to make it in. I got a seat. I got a ticket. I have a crown waiting for me. I already have plans to take my crown and throw it down like the 24 elders in Revelation, right? I'm going to take my crown and throw it down, and I'm going to bow before him and worship him, because it's not about the crown. It's about the God who gave me the crown. And so I've already got plans for that. So I don't come here so that I can make it into heaven. I come here so that I can continue to serve, so I continue to worship, so I continue to praise, and so I can continue to walk alongside others who may not have yet gotten there. And I want to disciple them and love them and pray with them and read to them and preach before them so that they come to the same confidence in God that I have. Today, as we begin to reflect, as you begin to reflect over your life, hopefully you can recognize God's grace working in and around you. You can look at your past and how God's grace defines it. You can look at the present, and you can, and you know that you can look at the present and see that there's a demand for God's grace in your life in order to make it in this present world. And then you can look at the future and know that you can rest in the fact that God has secured us. With that said, let's get ready to pray. If there's anyone in this room, and we're going to close our eyes and bow our heads, if there's anybody in this room today who has not acknowledged Christ as Savior, you have been trying to figure it out on your own. You've been walking here and there. You've been going to this church or that church, or you've been even coming here, but you have not really come to understand God's grace and his love over your life until this moment. Maybe seeds were planted, maybe seeds were watered, but today it was like it resonated with you. Today it became clear to you, and you see the choice that you need to make today, that Jesus Christ is your Savior, your Lord, that He died on the cross for our sins, and that because our belief of His death brings us eternal life, we could have that today. So with all eyes closed and heads bowed, if you are here today and you have not acknowledged Jesus as Savior, then I ask that you would make that choice today. Raise your hand and allow God to secure your eternity. Allow God to connect with you, because He wants to relate to you. He wants to be your God, and He wants you to be His child. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this day, grateful for this opportunity, God, to preach your word. We're thankful for the sermon series, God, which brings some clarity even to our own transition here at NC3. And so, God, as we continue to move on, as we bring this sermon series to a close, God, we pray that something was said in all of the various sermons that help us to understand our role in the transition of our church today. Help us, God, to see you in all the different moves and maneuvers that take place, with all the different adjustments that are made. Give us confidence, God, today, that we will be able to move forward under your direction, and that we will be as fruitful going forward as this church has been in the last 40 years. God, I am thankful for this church family and for what you do through each and every one of them, for all the roles that they play and all the different areas in which they volunteer. And God, we are just grateful that we have this opportunity to serve you, because you are a great God, a loving God, a merciful God, a grace-filled God. God, it becomes very, very clear that the only choice that we can make is to serve you. Help us to do that, and to do it well, and to do it to your glory. Now, God, take us from this place, but never ever from your presence, and allow us, God, to return at the appointed time with no danger to befall us. And we will be mindful to give you praise, honor, and glory, both right now and forevermore. And all of those who made that clear choice said amen.